¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Live from Nick's Place for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bring you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What? No, I'm not doing that.
No,
because it didn't feel right. I was going to do the Joel thing where he says, what up, HTX or H-Town or Houston, whatever he says. But it felt like a piece of my soul was dying as soon as I started it. So I decided not to. And frankly, I don't want to remind anyone of Joel because, much like you, I'm happy he's not
here.
Yeah,
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Josh Beard, Dell filling in for Jeremy Branham and Joel Blank today on the Killer Bees. And Del and I were talking about this before the show started. I was like, dude, you have to do it. Like, you have to be respectful to Joel. You have to do the what up H-Town. And of all the ways that was going to turn out, whether or not you didn't, I thought you were either going to not do it or you were going to do it and just kind of mess it up a little bit. I didn't see your soul. I literally watched your soul die.
I tried. And, you know, some people have a light in their eyes for Christmas.
Yeah.
I felt that draining from me.
Yeah, I
the
saw that
drain. The light behind my eyes was dimming as soon as I started, so I said I'm out.
Well, it's weird. The light around you, like the ambient light around you, actually got a little darker. It was super weird because Andrew's on the other side of you, and I actually couldn't see him. It's real strange, real black cloud of Joel Blank laying over you right now. And I don't know if it's because you failed at it or because you tried to do it.
No, I tried.
And that's why
in the essence, sucked the life out of me. And I'm glad that I could recover because we've got 3 hours. I don't think I could have if I finished whatever he says to start every show.
We do have 3 hours out here at the Klein's Christmas Party on ESPN 97.5 at Nick's Place. Come on out here. It's going to be 9 to midnight for the New Year's Eve party as well. They're holiday hours for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. They're going to be open on both those days and on New Year's Day. So get out here. They got good food, good drinks, great stuff out here. Everybody is hanging out, having a good time. So here's how I'm not having a great time. I haven't been having a great time, and I have a problem with Jeremy right now. And I said I was going to I had a bone to pick with Jeremy. I was going to talk about this where he couldn't defend it. But Jeremy is going off the rails with what he thinks the Texans should do in the draft with the number one overall pick, assuming that everything works out the way we want it to and they have the number one overall pick. He's going off the rails, and he's all over the place. His latest cockamamie opinion is that Will Levis should be the number one overall pick to the Houston Texans. The Texans should draft Will Levis at quarterback. And, man, I'm just not on board with that.
I don't understand the Will Levis love. I was listening to a clip yesterday because it had come up, the Will Levis thing. I think Mel Kiper had him as his number one overall pick. And I don't really understand what the Will Levis thing is because when you watch him play, yeah, sure, he's big, he's strong, 6'3", 230, and it fits all the molds of what a quarterback position you think it should be if we're going back to the 1980s. And sure, you've got the Justin Herberts of the world and the Trevor Lawrences, but there are different types of quarterbacks who are succeeding in the NFL. You don't need to be whatever you think the prototypical quarterback is. And the other thing about him is when they talk about him, it's not like, well, his play on the field, you hear about intangibles, and you also hear about he plays in a pro-style offense, which I don't even know what that means anymore because pro-style offenses – or what your quarterback and your offensive skill set is. We compliment play callers all the time because of what they do to accentuate their best players.
Right.
Now it's about, for this particular guy, well, he played at Kentucky where Liam Cohen was the OC at with the Rams and with Kentucky. They had that influence. So you're talking about Jared Goff? Is that what
right.
we're talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, exactly. There are a lot of guys who have played in a pro-style system in college, right? And here, look, I get it. Will Levis, he's 6'3", he's like 217, 218 pounds, he's got the size, he shows flashes of athleticism, and it is, like you said, that prototypical type of quarterback that NFL guys fall in love with. NFL teams have that benchmark of what they want in size from a quarterback. And when I watch him play, and I've been trying to watch as much, because I knew this was going to happen. I knew. I said months ago that Will Levis is going to jump up the draft boards. Everybody's going to fall in love with his size. They're going to fall in love with his arm. And they're going to want him to go number one overall over Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. It's just ridiculous because Bryce Young is the best quarterback prospect in this draft. And with Levis, I don't see him as anything more than a bigger Baker Mayfield. The majority of his completions are on dump-offs to running backs and on screen passes. And every once in a while, he'll throw this beautiful deep ball that'll drop right into the receiver's hands. But what about all the times he throws it behind a receiver on a crossing route? What about all the times he holds the ball too long, throws it too late, and that's yards after the catch that they could have had? There's a lot of issues that Will Levis has that I just don't see from a guy like Bryce Young. And so I think that I've been on this road the entire time. The road from last year to this moment has been, if you're going to tank for the number one overall pick, you take a quarterback. And if you take a quarterback, you take Bryce Young because there's just something different about him when you see him step up to the line of scrimmage. How many college quarterbacks in recent memory do you know can walk up to the line of scrimmage, read a defense, and actually make adjustments and is allowed to make adjustments to the line of scrimmage?
Well, you bring that up, and the business of quarterbacking isn't the flashes. People right. like to scout or pick or get excited about a quarterback because of the flashes they see when the basic stuff that is going to lead you to be a successful player in the NFL is what you want to see consistently. I don't see that from Will Levis.
Right.
It's a guy who will wow you on one throw and then look like, should he even be starting for Kentucky on the next drive? These are the things that I can't get behind. So it's just an interesting thing where people get excited because they see what Josh Allen can do off structure.
Yeah.
They fall in love with those things, but Josh Allen became a better quarterback and a great one because of the things he does in structure, whether it be the quick game, hitting guys when he gets to the top of the drop. Those are his drop. Those are the things that matter more, and then when you throw on top of the things he does that make him special, then you have an MVP candidate, then you have the quarterback of the number one seed in the AFC. If Will Levis isn't even doing the basics, he becomes a Josh Allen we saw those first couple years, and you hope and pray that he takes a jump that we've seen from Allen in the last couple years.
Well, we've seen, so Josh Allen is the outlier in that, right?
Yes.
So he's and everybody always wants to point to these outlier situations and say, oh, that's the formula. That's how it should work. But for every Josh Allen, we have Zach Wilson situation. We have a Trey Lance situation. Like, these guys who teams get enthralled with their athleticism, their arm strength, their size, that prototype, and they shoot up draft boards. And then all of a sudden you have the Jets trade a bunch of draft picks for a guy who got booed out of the stadium essentially the other night.
Yeah, I don't. The Zach Wilson thing is one get to that. One of the more amazing things. And he's been hurt quite a bit by who the Jets think they are, because you think you're a really good team and then you watch this quarterback stink it up. Then it just infuriates people. But we'll get to that later. The Bryce Young thing, I agree that I believe he's the best prospect. I wouldn't take him number one if you have any questions. Partly because I don't know if there's any quarterback worth that
right.
spot. You are, because you're quarterback desperate, you take him. I don't know if you thought you had a viable option. Like the Texans are in the Josh Rosen mode as far as the Cardinals were. Sure, we have a young quarterback. Even a little different. Davis Mills was not a first round pick, but you have a young quarterback who's proven to not be the guy. So now you feel like at number one overall, you have to take the next one. The Texans aren't blowing up their entire organization from what we can tell. We expect everyone to come back, although maybe they shouldn't. But we expect the guys making the decisions to come back, unlike the Cardinals where they kind of started over, got rid of their coach after a season. And they went and hired a coach who now can't get along with their current quarterback. We'll get to that story a little bit later. But I think that the Texans, they don't have a lot of premium football players. In fact, they don't have many besides Laremy Tunsil, and who knows if he'll be back. So I would be in favor, if you see a premium player at the top of the draft, take him, particularly if you have any questions. If you think Bryce Young is too small, or the arm strength isn't what you think it is, it's not NFL average,
right.
Which I think that it is, but, you know, that'll come into play once he gets to the NFL, what's his arm strength like? It's become the thing now.
Right.
But I'm taking a premium player. If there's a clear-cut number one in your board, and this is me trying to trust the Texans board, by the way, you take that guy at number one, and if you, with your Browns pick, if you have all these picks you want to trade up and Bryce Young's still available, maybe you make, or whatever quarterback is still available, you make that move. But I don't think any quarterback is worthy of that pick. The Texans are perfect because they have the number one overall pick again and there isn't a clear-cut number one option
right.
at quarterback.
Yeah, and doesn't that happen every time?
This is who they are.
It's every single time they have the number. And the guy who they could draft at number one has a lot of questions. Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah.
It's happened every single time they've had the number one overall pick, and there's never that clear-cut guy. I think I tend to disagree. I think other than there are size concerns, and I at least agree with you that if Caserio has any concerns at all with any of these quarterbacks at the number one overall pick, don't take him number one overall, and then just see who falls.
Mostly, look, if there's not a big difference between how they've ranked the quarterbacks and how they've ranked the other position
right.
players, then sure, go take your quarterback if there's not the difference. But if you think there is a legitimate Pro Bowl, All-Pro player that you can take at number one that is not a quarterback, go take them because you're a roster full of holes. Anybody will help.
Yep. And we'll dive into this a little bit more on the other side. There is one clear-cut number one favorite in everybody's mind, hypothetically, in next year's draft. And there's a train rolling right now that I got to derail with this kid. We'll get to that next in the next segment. Out here at the Klein's Christmas Party at Nick's Place. Come hang out with us. ESPN 97.5, 92.5, The Killer Bees with Josh and Dell.
Listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Nick's Place. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
You're listening to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Josh and Del filling in for Jeremy and Joel today. There's one theory this is the other bone that I have to pick with Jeremy. There's one theory that keeps getting tossed around that I think is just one of the most ridiculous ideas when it comes to the Texans' draft plans, both this year and next year. And I want to derail this train that's been rolling. I think Jeremy has been a big proponent of this. Look, I didn't text him and tell him that I was going to drag him today, but I'm going to drag Jeremy all throughout his own show all day long. No. Jeremy's awesome. I'm dragging him with love.
Nah.
I'm dragging him with love.
The audience disagrees.
This tank next year for Caleb Williams nonsense is one of the most ridiculous theories that I've heard in the Texans fan base so far. And this is a train that needs to be derailed immediately for a multitude of reasons. I get maybe not draft. Like you said, don't draft a quarterback number one.
Doesn't he
right?
want them to draft Will Levis?
So how
do these two work together?
I don't know. The Caleb Williams thing happened before the Levis thing, and then he fell in love with Levis enough to draft Levis.
I'll give Branham the credit. If they draft Will Levis, they'll be in a position to take Caleb.
Yeah,
Williams.
Exactly. That's actually, maybe that's his plan all along.
I don't know what it is, but that's the closest thing it's going to get to.
So there have been four teams in NFL history that have had back-to-back number one overall picks. And if you want to get Caleb Williams in 2024, you're going to have the number one overall pick. The Eagles, in 1936 and 1937... That was just a few years ago, so we have good operable data within the recent history.
Were they throwing the football forward at the time?
I don't even think they were. I don't even think they knew how to. I think they were just handing it off the entire time. Then the Bucs in 1976, 1977, and then again in 86 and 87, and we all know how bad the Bucs were in the 70s and 80s going into the 90s. They were awful. The Browns in 99 and 2000, and then again in 2017, 2018. Hey, we're getting a little bit more recent. 17 and 18, that was Myles Garrett and then Baker Mayfield. So we all know how that worked out with the quarterback position for them. And then the most recent is the Jaguars in 21 and this last draft where they went Trevor Lawrence and then they went with Trayvon Walker. Four teams in the history of the NFL have had back-to-back number one overall picks. And I wouldn't have wanted to be any single one of these teams at the time period that they went number one overall back-to-back. That's awful. Because here's my biggest problem with tanking next year. You have all of these draft picks where you're going to draft all these young, talented guys. You just drafted some young talent this last year. Maybe they haven't had the best rookie seasons, but they're still young talent that you can grow, get a new coaching staff in, and try to grow them out. If you spend an entire year tanking again and being an awful team, what does that do for them? Do they want to be there? Is there any motivation for them at all?
If you tank again, you're hiring a new head coach.
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
And I don't know Cal's thinking, but you would assume that you have a new general manager too. So the process starts over again, and depending on the systems and who you hire, maybe the guys you drafted in year one of this rebuild don't fit what the new regime wants. So
right.
It could very well be something where you're blowing it all up again if you go 2-15 or whatever their record is to get you the number one overall pick again.
Yep.
It's a dangerous proposition. It's in the NFL. It's very different in basketball because if you most teams have general managers that they'll keep for 4 or 5 years and say, hey, the plan is we want three top five picks over the next 4 or 5 years, and that general manager will get to pick a team and build it. The NFL doesn't work that way because they talk about parity all the time. You can go from being what the Jags were last year. They're not great, but because of their division, they've got a real shot to win their division and make the playoffs. Owners see that, fancy that. They're not going to want to sit through another two-win season again.
Right.
That forces people to make moves.
I took my son to his first. This is a bad parenting job by me, but he's a Chiefs fan, okay? Sue me. I'm sorry.
It's not bad parenting. He's had a great childhood.
He loves Patrick Mahomes, and he's had an incredible childhood. Yeah. Mine's been filled. My entire sports life, for the most part, has been filled with heartbreak and disappointment. Yeah. He's had a really easy life so far. So I took him to the Chiefs game this last Sunday. And I mean,
how old is your kid?
He just turned 12.
Okay.
And so good 12 years.
Did the Wattcat turn him to become a Chiefs fan?
I think so, yeah. Actually, I think that was the moment where he's like, he just said Patrick Mahomes instantly. Yeah.
It was even Alex Smith, but he saw the Texans in a playoff game and he was done.
Yeah, he's a little prophetic like that. I think he was like 3 at the time, too. Yeah. He just said, Mahomes. And that was it. It was over. But it's the NBA and the NFL, you know, people have used that comparison before. And the other thing other than parity is that the shelf life of players in the NFL is exponentially shorter than it is with NBA players. If you draft a guy number one, number two overall in the NBA, he's not going to hit his prime for 3, 4, maybe 5 years. I mean, we're looking at Luka Doncic and Trae Young now, right? And they're just now, well, the Mavericks are an awful organization, but they're just now hitting their primes of they're becoming the superstars. In the NFL, when you draft a guy number one overall, he has to make a difference right now. And especially when you're drafting a quarterback, you have to make something happen. There has to be an impact while he's on his rookie contract, because some of the most successful teams have been teams that have been able to compete while quarterbacks are on a rookie contract, and then Tom Brady. Or Peyton Manning. Like, those are our examples. And I just think it's ridiculous from a standpoint of, like, Caleb Williams is very good, and I think he's deserving of being the number one overall pick next year. I don't think he's so much better than Bryce Young from what I've seen in his sophomore. Let's compare Heisman seasons. His Heisman season to Bryce Young's Heisman season. I don't think he's so much better that you skip out on a guy like that if you want to take a quarterback number one overall, that you skip out on a dude like that just to wait the next year and then draft a guy who I feel like too many teams do that.
The Texans would have to fall out of love with who, if they are in love with any of the quarterbacks. If none of these guys are worth it, then I guess you play for Caleb Williams. But I don't even think that would be the plan. It would just be, hey, we don't think any of these quarterbacks are worth it. We're going to draft premium guys we think are potential Pro Bowlers and all pros at these positions, and then we'll see how it works out. The plan won't be to lose as many games as possible, because you've done that already for the last couple seasons. You can't stack a third one.
Right.
We already know that no one cares about this team. You stack a third one, you become one of those teams where people are having the dumb conversations on ESPN about, should this team be taken away from Cal? Those conversations that come up. I know we've had them here because it would make everyone feel better.
Yeah, but then it becomes
a national story where people are discussing, what are the Texans doing? You remember a couple years, like 2019, where the Dolphins weren't trying to win?
Oh, yeah.
And they were having discussions about, it's not safe for these players to play because the team's not trying to win, because I guess they were picking up guys off the scrap heap. Those are the conversations you now be a part of. We know the Texans, as bad as they are, they do care about their image. They don't want those conversations to be had. There is no way they will attack next season with, well, you know what? Caleb Williams is waiting for us. We're not going to try to win games, because we know Lovie Smith is on his last legs as the head coach.
Yeah.
So he's not going to do it. Nick Caserio, I don't know how much.
He's not going to want
to. I don't know how much security he has in that front office, but he's not going to want to stack another 3-win season or less on his resume. These are things that the guys who don't have decisions to make, like Jeremy, can go, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
But the guys who actually get paid to do it, whose livelihood is based on winning and losing, won't be down for it.
Well, I think there's an aspect of, like, whenever you're covering a team too, and whenever you're cheering for a team, you get a little bit too close to the fire, right? Like, you get so close to the product that you just can't really pull back and see the bigger picture sometimes. And I think that's a lot of the people that are like, oh, let's go for Caleb Williams at 24. A lot of people are kind of a little bit too close to what they're seeing right now. And look, the size concerns with Bryce are legitimate. The anticipation concerns for Stroud are legitimate. But I would much rather go and try to get one of those franchise guys this year than play the dangerous, dangerous game of, oh, we'll definitely have the number one overall pick next year. When we talked about it before the show, you're going to have four or five teams that are all going to be tanking trying to get Caleb Williams. So to the hubris to think that, oh, we're so bad, this is definitely going to happen, that's just not the case.
Yeah, the thing is, there's no guarantee that in 2024 that Caleb Williams
exactly
will be whatever he is now.
Yeah.
We're talking about a year. I mean, we mentioned the Dolphins in 19. Their plan was to tank for Tua, and he had a horrific injury that almost ended his career.
Yeah.
These are things you can't plan for. Not that we should think that something awful will happen to Caleb Williams. You just never know.
Well, and the way a lot of people talk about Caleb Williams right now, this is the way we were talking about Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. At this point last year, all the way through the draft process, all the way through the preseason, we're talking about, oh, it's clear. Clearly it's going to be one of these. Nobody was talking about Bryce Young's frame and Bryce Young's size issues this time last year when he's coming off of 4,800 yards and 37 touchdowns with four interceptions. Yeah. Nobody's talking about that. Yeah. They're talking about, ooh, he's bright. His IQ is anticipation.
Well, the team slipped around him. The performances got worse, yeah. And Bill O'Brien's still there. So that adds to...
I think that's the biggest issue.
Yeah, so now people are questioning him. So you just spent a whole segment to tell us you think Jeremy's dumb?
For sure.
Yeah.
I think look, Jeremy and I have been friends for a while, and I like Branham. I think he's a great guy, but it's almost like it's been like a body snatchers type of situation the last month or so.
You think it's Joel's doing?
I think it's Joel. Yeah. Yeah, I think you know what it is? I think it's the soul-sucking nature of the we saw it happen with you when you tried to do the What's Up H-Town.
Yeah.
I think it's just hearing that
too many
times.
The fact that he has they've been together since, what, August of 21, I think?
Yeah,
that's
a little
when
over
they started.
A year, yeah.
To have to hear that every day.
And then he's been doing it. Like, Joel was out the other day, and Jeremy tried to do it. It was not good.
You think Jeremy feels like a little bit that reprieve when he gets to do Cougars basketball? It's like, wow, this is something normal to do.
I think it bleeds into it, honestly. I don't think there's a reprieve because he starts to do it, and then that little bit of Joel comes out in him.
Yeah, I'm usually watching the Cougars games on television, so I'm not hearing his broadcast. Sorry, Jeremy. It's a TV thing.
Yeah, I listen to your broadcast, Jeremy. Don't worry. That's how good of a friend I am.
I'm not his friend, so I don't have to do that.
Anyway, you're listening to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're out here at Nick's Place hanging out, having a good time for the Klein's Christmas party. Come out and hang out with us all day long. They're going to be open on Christmas Eve, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Christmas Day, opening at 12. And then they're going to be open New Year's Day for their New Year's Eve party from 9 p.m. to midnight. There's going to be food, champagne, drink specials, and no cover. So come on out to Nick's Place today. Make sure you come on out for the New Year's Eve party as well. Let's go ahead and swerve away from these Jeremy Branham conspiracy theories, and let's talk about a new way we're going to be able to watch the NFL next season. And I'm really, really excited about this, Del. We'll talk about that next on the Killer Bees.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. Live from Nick's Place, this is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Josh and Dell filling on the Killer Bees for Joel and Jeremy today here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I feel like we dragged Jeremy a little bit too much at the end of that last segment.
To be fair.
We just want to be a little bit nicer to Jeremy for a bit.
For what?
And so I think it's going to be Joel's turn. We're going to go back to him. Don't worry. But it's going to be Joel's turn next. We got to drag Joel just a little bit.
What? I actually object to talking about Joel at all. But
is that how we drag him? We don't even bring him up.
We stop even referencing that. This is his show.
Should I just start saying we're filling it, Josh and Dell filling in on the Killer Bees for Jeremy Branham?
Yeah.
And then just say that and leave it at that?
And
okay.
Yeah, we'll Brian's the other B.
Joel. Yeah. It's Brendan. For Jeremy Branham and Brendan, B-Mac behind the – well, he's not behind the glass because there is no glass here because we're out at Nick's Place hanging out. Come out and hang out with us. Have some drinks. Have some food. Hang out with everybody. It's a good time right now. But we have a new way we're going to be able to watch the NFL next season. And I, for one, am really, really excited about this. I think a lot of people have some questions, and I think you have some questions about how this is going to work. But the NFL Sunday Ticket is going to be on YouTube TV next year, and it's kind of both monetarily and from a consumer standpoint kind of a big deal.
It is because, for for pretty much your entire life, football watching life, when it comes to Sunday Ticket, you've been able to turn on your TV with a remote and find your game on DirecTV. That changes for you starting next year. You know, being in this town, and when the Astros would appear on YouTube TV, people are like, where's the Astros game? We don't know where to find it. What's going on? This is going to become a thing for every football fan in America starting with the 2023 season.
So I actually do a thing. I cut the cord. We fully cut the cord a long time ago. We've only had streaming services for a long time now. And so I have YouTube TV right now, and I'm really excited. I love YouTube TV. I think it's a lot of fun. I think the UI is really good. I have no trouble changing from one channel to the other. And I've used a bunch of these different streaming services. Not all of them are great. But what I do, and I think what a lot of people end up doing if this is the route they decide to go, is during the football season I use YouTube TV, and then during the baseball season I do Fubo TV.
Okay.
And it makes it a little bit more difficult once football starts and you still have baseball going. But YouTube TV is a little bit cheaper than Fubo TV. But as long as I have Red Zone channel, I've been fine because you can still get the Red Zone from Fubo. So I just bounce it back and forth between the two because that's the best part about having a streaming service is you don't have to just – if it's not – you're not under contract. You don't have to have YouTube TV forever. Once it hits Astros season and football is done, hey, just switch over to something that has the Astros and you can watch them. So that's how I have to do it. I think that's great. It's a seven-year deal worth a little over $14 billion, which is insane. NFL Sunday Ticket has like around 200 or around 2 million subscribers at about $300 to $400 per season spent for each of those subscribers. So monetarily, this is a great deal for Sunday Ticket for the NFL and for YouTube TV. It is interesting to see how people are going to adopt this though, without it being like an actual over the air thing, and it being the more of that streaming service.
You're talking about the price point, and I've been a YouTube TV subscriber when I was watching live TV for quite a while now. I've tried Sling. I've tried, I think I said Tubi when we were talking, but I meant Fubo
Tubi,
TV.
Yeah.
I've tried that, but YouTube TV has been my best option when I've gone with the cutting the cord. And frankly, the best part, you mentioned the contract, the best part is not having to call someone and say, hey, I don't want this service anymore.
Right.
With DirecTV or cable. I'm that antisocial that I picked it specifically because I could just go on the internet and end my service if I wanted to. That's my favorite part of the process. But the thing we were discussing before was it's not really a delay because, you know, when we're changing the channel on normal broadcast television or cable or satellite, you flip and it's almost immediate. I think there is a bit of a delay, not so much where you're freaking out, but for fans who love flipping between games. I'm a Red Zone person myself. I don't watch whole games unless it's my favorite team. But if you like flipping between games, there may be a little bit of a delay that bothers some people. Maybe by the time this comes out, YouTube TV has it so seamless that's not the case anymore.
Right.
I wouldn't say it's buffering, but it's kind of the best way to describe
it.
It's just a little blip.
Yeah, a little blip
as it's going from one channel to the other. That might bother some people. I wonder how people will react to it. But the service itself, YouTube TV, is awesome. I'm a huge fan of it when I have it. I think people who decide to flip over. Now, look, we're in radio, so we know people with their presets. It's very hard to get them to change, and I think it'll be the same way for some people. But the Sunday Ticket being on YouTube TV will be that catalyst.
Yeah.
Once people get there, I think they'll be fine. I think they'll enjoy the product. And I imagine because of the money that they're spending, they'll pump more into their infrastructure where it even ups the service.
Yeah, I think Amazon Prime this year for Thursday Night Football was a really good test case for how people felt about consuming NFL games like that. So one of the things I had the pleasure of doing last year, whenever Amazon was like in discussions with the NFL and they were talking about, and they brought in that Thursday Night Football and they were talking about all these deals, was I had the rights to co-stream Thursday Night Football games on my Twitch stream, which was pretty cool. I got to actually show the games on my channel, and then I got to do my own play-by-play over it. Now, they did a lot of other things, and they created this program, and then they kicked me to the curb, and they brought in way better things like Dude Perfect, apparently, was cooler than me.
Wow.
But they've had this test case for a couple of years of how football is consumed and how people want to watch football. And so it's going to be interesting to see what YouTube TV does with Sunday Ticket. Do they change the graphics? Do they change some of the ways they show the game? Do they showcase? I think Red Zone's done a lot for that for people, too, where you have the Octobox and you have all these different switching back and forth between these games. What can they do? There's one thing on Amazon Prime for Thursday Night Football that I think is a good – it's been a great test case for people who love analytics. Like, the older I get and the more prominent they become, I'm becoming more and more of an analytics person, which I was already before. But there's a Prime Vision channel that you can watch, which actually shows, it puts players' names up while they're running, while they're out in the lineups. Whenever they run a route, it shows the trail of the route that they ran, the percentage chance that it had to succeed because of the defense. It's awesome. And I wonder if there's some things that they can do on YouTube TV to add these other extra things for the viewers.
Yeah, I wonder, besides how much they're deciding to pay,
right,
that they sold the NFL on to make their product better. Because I agree with you. Prime has – I don't care for who's calling the game so much. More of the halftime show.
Right.
I don't really care about the guys calling the games. They're fine. I don't really have a big issue. But Prime itself, their presentation, I'm a huge fan of.
Yeah.
So we'll see what I think YouTube TV will be similar in terms of their innovations, because why would you do the same thing when you have that opportunity? And their ability to kind of bring new things to the table is something I'm looking forward to.
Well, and for me too, I'm the one of those freaks that has three monitors in my office right now, and I want to get a fourth. I just want to have as many monitors as I can have. If I could have like eight monitors and have like a real NASA control center thing going on, it'd be great. And what I do is on my monitors, I put different games like Red Zone and a bunch of other things in different spots in those I could create my own Octobox, or what would 12 boxes be? 12-0 box? Is that what it would be? I don't know.
Sure,
I don't know how that works.
I'm sure it's smart people out there smacking themselves because of what you just
said.
Yeah, I don't know what the word
people.
Is.
Oh, yeah. I know what a delta is. That means change. Whatever. That's where my math knowledge stops there, guys. But I could put all these different boxes from YouTube TV, because you could just pull it up right in the browser. The best part about YouTube TV, you talk about not liking being around people and being antisocial. The best part about having YouTube TV is I can go hide somewhere in my house away from everybody else with my phone and have the games right there, and I don't have to worry about that. And I know that I have DirecTV streaming and stuff like that, but those haven't been as good as YouTube TV is. It's not as seamless as YouTube TV is whenever you're talking about being able to view it like that. But I'm excited. I think this is going to be cool. I'm already on YouTube TV. It's going to make it. I'm going to switch to Fubo for the baseball season, but I'll switch back to YouTube TV. If we were to compare Jeremy and Joel to streaming services, yeah, I know. Don't give me that face. If we were to compare Jeremy and Joel to streaming services, let's start with Joel. What streaming service would Joel be?
What was that short-lived one that got screwed by the pandemic? The one where they were going to like give
where
you
like 10-minute videos.
Yeah, and they're like, hey, you're standing around outside. You can watch it. We can watch a whole TV show.
Oh my god!
We'll give you. I forgot what it was called, but it. They put money into it within the pandemic, and everyone was sitting at home anyway, so they didn't need to be on their phones watching television.
It was Quibi. Quibi was the service. I didn't even remember that.
Joel was Quibi.
So Joel is the human version of Quibi.
Yes.
What's Jeremy? I feel like Jeremy's Nat Geo. Like, it's the Nat Geo Plus. It's just whatever Nat Geo streaming service. Or Discovery Plus. That's what Jeremy is. Jeremy's the Discovery Plus streaming service. Like, it gets really fun during Shark Week, but all the rest of the time, you don't really.
You know him, so you can pick him apart a little.
Yeah.
I was going to call him. So, you know that you have the. You know how streaming services have the kids option?
Yeah.
Where
he's
the kids option on all of those streaming services.
He's a kids account on Netflix or Hulu? Yeah.
He's
not even a full streaming service. He's just the kids section.
No. That's what he is. Yeah. I mean, I'm not expecting much.
Yeah.
But if I want to watch. I don't know. Give me a.
If you want your kids to listen,
to be entertained, I think Jeremy is entertaining, but not for adults.
Yeah, kids.
Can
I make an
alternate suggestion for Joel?
Absolutely, B Mac. Go ahead.
Joel is Netflix, but when Netflix was still DVDs by mail,
before they had a streaming service.
Yeah, before it was actually streaming.
I'm going to change it a little bit. I think Joel is Netflix when they first tried to implement streaming, and it was like there were like five movies, and they were all really, really old, like late 70s, early 80s. It's like One Flew Over a Cuckoo's Nest, and then like The Shining, and that's all they had.
But I get Brian's point, because when there was just DVDs, sometimes you would forget to send them back, and then when you see them, you're like, oh, crap, I still have this thing with me.
It was like a five-day turnaround to get anything back.
Yeah.
And then for Jeremy, I would say Jeremy is Hulu, but the very cheap option where you have to watch ads every 30 seconds.
Hey, I have that cheap option of Hulu. Leave that cheap option alone. You know what? That's an apt comparison, is because I like having it around. I think it's fine. I don't go to it all the time.
But it annoys
you a lot.
But
it's nice to have there when I – yeah, it's just a little – like there's just some things I would change about it, but it's fine because it's cheap.
Yeah, I think I would. Yeah, calling him the Disney, the kids version of a streaming service is a little harsh. I was just looking for something that you can have around, you can go to if you want, but you generally won't. I think this new variation that you guys brought to the table, I agree with that.
Yeah, I feel like they're never going to ask us to be on their show again. So
they
we
didn't
just
ask
gotta,
us this time.
That's true. They had no say.
They were out and they didn't care.
You're listening to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're out at Nick's place today, hanging out with everybody, having a good time, having some drinks and some food. Come hang out with everybody out here at Nick's place. Make sure you come out here for their New Year's Eve party on New Year's Eve. I might have to come out. I'm going to be in town for New Year's Eve for the first time in a long time, so I might have to come out to that. So come hang out with us today. We're going to be here till 3 o'clock, and then the other guys are going to take over after us. But if we do see the Texans draft a quarterback number one overall, my God, please just avoid any one of these two situations. Coming up next on the Killer Bees.
Live from Nick's place for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present the Killer Bees. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Josh and Dell filling in for Jeremy and Joel. The defunct streaming services that are out today. Well, only Quibi is defunct, so technically Kids Hulu isn't defunct.
No.
Yeah, it's fine, though. But we're filling in on the Killer Bees today. We're out at Nick's place for the Klein's Christmas party. Come out and hang out with us. Dell, we talked about at the beginning of the show what the Texans need to do, or at least if they go quarterback, what route they need to take. And what routes they don't need to take. But no matter what they decide, there are two situations that we see in the NFL right now that I think that they should do everything they can, or at least try to avoid. I think most teams want to try to avoid it, but you could see red flags. You could see red flags with both of these players before they got drafted. But the first one is Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals. The second one is Zach Wilson and the New York Jets. But let's dive into Kyler and the Arizona Cardinals. Like, there were red flags with Kyler. And you talked about this. You talked about the Cardinals earlier with Josh Rosen. They felt like they needed to draft a quarterback. They went with Kyler Murray. They drafted him. And it's just been, there were concerns about his height. There were concerns about his attitude. I was there at the first game he played for the Aggies whenever Kevin Sumlin decided to play both he and Kyle Allen in the same game. And afterwards at the press conference, I asked someone, hey, do you think it's going to be a problem playing both two quarterbacks in one game? And he looked at me like I was an idiot and he wanted to murder me. And he's like, no, it's not going to be a problem. Well, it ended up being a bit of a problem because we knew who Kyler Murray's dad was. We knew who Kyler was, kind of. And it ended up being a bit of a problem. But then he goes to Oklahoma. He wins the Heisman. He gets drafted. I feel like his tenure with the Arizona Cardinals has just been chock full of doubts and the same red flags we saw in the pre-draft process since he's been there, and then a lot of doubts about Cliff Kingsbury and his how he is as an NFL coach, how his system works in the NFL. I'm surprised, honestly, Kingsbury still has a job in the NFL right now. And now we're hearing reports that, oh, surprise, Kyler and Cliff aren't that close anymore.
Yeah, at a point where you have guys who don't want to accept blame. Like, if these were two guys who could accept blame and go, okay, things haven't worked out between us, let's put our head down to find a way, mm-hmm. I don't think this would be a problem. But we've seen, and it's hard to evaluate a person you don't know, but you watch Kyler Murray in college and didn't lose very many games, but when he did, it always appeared like, okay, because of what he was in high school, he doesn't know what losing feels like.
Right.
He doesn't know what it is, and if he's losing games, he's not going to look internally and go, okay, I made some mistakes. It's going to be These are their problems, not mine.
Right.
And that's kind of translated to the NFL. There hasn't been it doesn't appear there has been much growth. Yeah, Patrick Peterson go after him, and then, you know, because Pat Pete didn't like the fallout. He goes, no, me and him are cool, and, you know,
right.
Kyler got after him a little bit. Hey, man, you want to say something? Talk to me. Don't put it out there. So these are the things that happen for when you have a slightly immature guy at that position.
Yep.
Jokes aside, beyond the whole, you know, his play declines when Call of Duty comes out and the contract and all the things that came about in the offseason because of how the Cardinals structured that contract, it just has been a constant thing where, at least from my eyes, since he was an Aggie, it felt like this is a person who won't deal with adversity
right.
well.
Oh, yeah.
So anytime things don't go their way or his way, he's going to act out.
Right.
And Cliff Kingsbury, has failed up quite a bit.
He's failed up his entire career.
Yeah, from not being able to win enough games with Pat Mahomes to having the USC offensive coordinator job for a couple months and then getting the NFL job with the Cardinals. It has felt like ever since you watched him get fired from Tech, no matter what he does, he lands on his feet with more money in his pocket.
That's something I think about often. And I feel like me in my normal life, I got two kids, I'm married, I shouldn't think about Cliff Kingsbury's failure with Patrick Mahomes as quarterback as much as I do. But how is that not the biggest indictment on his offense and who he is as a coach, that he couldn't find more success with Mahomes, who is, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, in my opinion, the clear-cut favorite to win the MVP this year. How could he not win more? How does he still have a job in the NFL right now?
You get provided so much margin for error when you have Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback.
Yeah.
Just find a way to hire competent people. You don't even – I know Tech – no, they're putting more money into the program now, but at the time they weren't all in because NIL didn't exist at that point. But I understand you're not getting the best defensive players, and it's hard to recruit defense. But why was Tech any different from TCU?
Yeah,
like even before, forget about this year and their run. But Gary Patterson found a way to get defensive players into Fort Worth, and they played good defense. Why was that impossible? Look, it's not a Cliff Kingsbury thing. It's been a thing at Tech for years now. Really since Spike Dykes, I guess.
Yep.
But when you have Patrick Mahomes, generally just find a defense who doesn't give up 40 per game, and you're going to win. You're going to win a lot of games. And he never could. Why that side of the ball suffered so much, I don't know.
When you have
such a great player on the other side, but they're two guys who feel like they haven't learned from their failures, and they're going down a road where probably because they've always been given things after they failed. Kyler. You know, the A&M thing didn't work out. He transferred to Oklahoma, and he becomes a Heisman Trophy winner. So, obviously, it was A&M's fault. Probably was, honestly.
So he's
not going to look at himself and go, oh, that was a problem.
Yeah.
But now he's the number one overall pick. Things are going great. But it's been about a year and a half disappointment from them tailing off at the back half of last year. Now this year it's been a complete disaster. Now he's got the ACL. So it'll be interesting to see how he fights back from an injury.
Well, and he fought injuries like during the first half of the season, too, where he was out for a couple of games and then he was back in. Number one, I don't appreciate the Aggie slander.
Well, I don't know if the last 20 years have showed you anything. But
we deal with enough. That should tell you we deal with enough. And then Andrew's over here behind you nodding whenever you slander the Aggies.
I mean, since 98, since you ruined Kansas State's potential BCS appearance, you guys have done literally nothing.
We also ruined LSU's potential college football playoff appearance.
That felt pretty good. I mean, not making the pun.
It was a silver lining.
That was a paper tiger. I'm not making the joke because they're LSU, they're Bengal Tigers, but, I mean, they were never.
That's how I know you hung out with Joel too much.
No. When I preface it by saying I'm not making that pun, I think I should be allowed to go ahead. Because Joel would have been like, well, they're not paper tigers. He would have done that. He would have gone all in.
Saying I'm not trying to preface that with I'm not making this pun is the
but
equivalent
that's,
of
what else would I have called them? I guess I could have called them frauds or phonies, whatever. But that's what they were. LSU was never as good as what their ranking was.
Yeah,
you watched them play and you knew they were never as good.
I agree. Oh, I totally agree with that. I 100% agree with that. You just can't preface the paper tiger comment.
Look, you guys,
you can't preface the paper
and
tiger. That's like saying
credit,
with all due respect,
and you can't take credit for ruining other people's seasons.
Yes, I can. I did it. You can't stop me from doing it. When you finish
5-7, you can't take credit for ruining other people's seasons.
The worst look in college football this year was after Texas A&M beat LSU, and they tried to charge the field before the game was over. Like, they tried to actually, like, storm the field before the clock had hit zeros. I'm like, that's a real, like, storming the field when you're 5-7 and you're barely beating this team is a real, is a real bad
look.
It's
one thing if you're 5-7 and you're Kansas, you had the expectations of Kansas coming into the year, but you had the expectations of making the playoff potentially, and you finished 5-7. You just bow your head, go home, and go, well, at least we're not 4-8.
I'm retreating from this conversation. Back to the disappointment of another quarterback situation, and one that I want the Texans to avoid, getting out of that real fast. Okay, so Kyler and Cliff are having problems. We see the Arizona Cardinals. They've had problems for 2 years now. But we just watched last night another situation with a young quarterback who the fan base just can't stand him. I don't know how the team feels about him, but Zach Wilson with the New York Jets, another guy who I feel like Zach Wilson's the way he was promoted and just thrust into number one, number two quarterback prospect territory in the 2021 draft is really reminiscent of what's going to happen with Will Levis again. It's going to be not great tape, but you're going to love the size and the talent level of the guy, and that's what Zach Wilson was in the 2021 draft. And he just got, I mean, the fan base hates him. He got booed. He got dragged on Twitter all last night. I don't know if Robert Saleh fully believes in him or not anymore. And then you got a guy who comes in Chris Streveler. My wife called him Shriveler last night. Also, coincidentally, what she calls me. And he came in. Yeah, he came in and did just as well, at least, as Zach Wilson did. And it's kind of ridiculous that you have a guy who's been in the league for 3 years and Streveler who can come in and put up at least the same numbers
and they weren't
as
even
Zach Wilson.
Running a, whatever you call a real NFL offense. It was just red option football.
Would you say that he knows how to run a pro-style offense? Is that his biggest knock? Is that Streveler's biggest knock? I wish he'd run a pro-style offense in college.
Well, he's throwing those paper airplanes on out routes, so you have to run anything you can to try to move the football. It's funny. The best part of it was watching Joe Flacco in uniform just sit there, and they were like, Joe.
Yeah, no.
You're not playing. We don't care. We're going to run New York Taysom Hill as much as we can, but Joe Flacco's not going to play. The Zach Wilson thing never seemed like it fit New York. He doesn't look like he would fit New York. He's the blonde Mormon from Utah. It doesn't fit what a New York quarterback what we think a New York fan base would gravitate towards.
Yeah.
And it's played out the way. And the biggest problem for him is the New York Jets and their fans believe if not for him, they have a legitimate contending team. Now, they have some injuries on the offensive line. I mean, Garrett Wilson's fine. They don't have great wide receivers. But the defense is good enough where they should be in the playoffs, and they're hanging on by
a thread.
Yeah, right now. They have to win out the rest of the way. It doesn't seem like they are. We'll see if they can get two more wins. But that's their biggest problem. They should probably be at the end of the year 10-win team, and they may not win another game because their quarterback play has been so bad. And when your second pick overall is the biggest problem, it's going to get people pissed. And he could be a guy where they're drafting. I mean, they won't be in a position to draft very high, but it could be a year where they dump him and go, "Hey, Derek Carr, do you like New York?
Yeah, do you want to come play in New York?"
Yeah.
Well, and what's funny is they lost last night to a quarterback who has the exact opposite problem as Zach Wilson does, and a quarterback who I think should be getting some consideration for a couple of awards this year. But we'll dive into that a little bit later. But coming up next at the top of the hour, we have BZ Money, but we're going
to
put our own little spin on it.
I don't know. I've never heard it.
It's fine. We'll figure it out. We'll put our own spin on it. We'll Joel and Jeremy-ify this, if that's a phrase. I just turned that into a phrase. But we're out at Nick's Place hanging out. Come out and hang out at Nick's Place with us. Drinks, food, all sorts of great stuff out here right now. Everybody's having a great time. So hang out with us. This is Josh and Dell filling in on the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.